Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And the Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. If you need numbers and help connecting, send a chat to one of the hosts and we can help you with that. Before we get to our panel, I will read the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcohol. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contribution. AA is not aligned with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Hey, Mike, let me jump in. There were some hands in the first 30 days. If you'd like to unmute yourself and say hello, please feel free.
Thank you, David.
I'm Stephanie. I'm an alcoholic and an addict, and I'm back.
Hi, Stephanie.
Stephanie, welcome.
John. I'm John. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. I'm back.
Hey,
welcome,
John.
Hey, John.
Welcome.
Back to you, Mike.
All right. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. This evening, we are discussing step 10, and I will read a paragraph or two, and our panel, which this evening are, and I just had it, my mistake, Alex D. and James B., both from Richmond. I'd like to thank you both for coming this evening. Again, we're doing step 10, and I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Step 10, from page 84. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And Alex or James, which of you would like to share first on that?
My name is Alex. I'm an alcoholic. I'll go first. First of all, thank y'all for having us. And James is probably going to get a resentment because he's not from Richmond. He's from Charlottesville. And I'll probably hear about that later. Just playing. But we do appreciate y'all having us. And it's always awesome to be able to participate in that meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It beats wondering about where I'm going to sleep tonight or, you know, where I'm going to go or how I'm going to get somewhere or just, you know, how am I going to get by? You know, how am I going to stop drinking? It's good for me to remember that anytime I get in AA. This is easy, but there are things that I do, I get asked, and my answer is yes, you know. Because I'm selfish and self-centered, there are times there's just resistance inside of me, but thankfully I've been trained to just put one foot in front of the other, you know. And so it's always good for me to remember how thankful I am for the life that I do to y'all and the program of AA. Step 10, when I went through the steps, when I finally got sober, I guess I should say, I thought we were going to read all this. So if I'm getting out of order, I apologize. But when I finally got sober, after 3.5 years of coming in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous, by the way, my sobriety date is April 21st, 1993. My home group's the Buford Road Group, Wednesdays at 7 here in Richmond. I have a sponsor. I talk to him almost every day and have probably for the past 7 years. And I sponsor guys in Alcoholics Anonymous. But when I finally got sober this last time, the one missing component of all of my visits to Alcoholics Anonymous in the preceding 3.5 years from my sobriety date was I was unwilling to do anything. You know, I was willing to show up at the meeting. And I think some of that rubbed off. You know, and I even then, I think I can honestly say I never left a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous that I felt worse than when I was going in. I'm not saying you didn't. That was just my experience. You know, it may have only been a tiny bit, but something was, you know, I was just a tad bit calmer. I was a level 8 instead of a level 9, you know, whatever it was. And people, every time I came back, just awesome. You know, you do the walk of shame and it's you're, oh, I'm all concerned about what are they thinking? Here I am for the 14th time. You know, I can't stay sober more than 30 days. And they're just throwing their arms up, you know, and helping me out. And what did it for me, because I had been in AA meetings so many times and left, I knew what that felt like, not just as a process, but that moment where you're making the decision, I'm going to the 7-Eleven or the Amoco right after the meeting and screw you guys, in other language. And, you know, it was like a force. It was, I didn't realize it at the time, a force I could not combat. I couldn't battle it. I couldn't overcome it, you know. And there was a moment, it was, you know, like a 50.1 to a 49.9, where I decided to walk across the room and ask this guy for help. You know, I'd done a lot of parking lot speeches and wailings and, you know, relationship crap and all this other stuff, to the point where people were walking away from me. you know, but this time I went to him and I asked for help. And so, you know, this man took me through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, among other things. And, you know, the home group and the call me, everything that we do, you know, the fellowship. But at the time when he took me through the steps, this is my perception. He may give you a different story. But once I reached the amends and then steps 10, 11, and 12, we talked about that a lot. He took me to so many conferences and he gave me so many cassette tapes and then CDs a little bit later and stuff. Like, I mean, we were down in Georgia. We were in North Carolina. We were in South Carolina. We were in Maryland. I went out to the Midwest with him when he was speaking at a conference out there. And I mean, he just immersed me, you know, hey, what are you doing on Saturday? Let's get in the car and drive up to the Chip House in Baltimore. You know, he was just, it was exploded, you know, so I was just being inundated with Alcoholics Anonymous. As far as the steps go, he did take me through the steps. I did my fifth step with him, 6 and 7, you know, but it was almost like when I got to 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, he kind of pushed me out the door of AA, not leaving AA, but like, you got to start doing this stuff. You know, I'm not going to hold your hand. And you know, we're not going to do all of this at the kitchen table. You got to get out the door. And that was absolutely true. So one of the things that I remember first realizing about step 10 was, thank God there's specific directions here, you know, because I didn't want to be, he kind of gave me marching orders to go practice and do this. And it's right there, you know, and I didn't want to have to go back to him and ask him what it meant. Now, I did ask him questions and we did listen to stuff, but I'm like, man, this stuff is so plain that even I can do that, you know? And of course, over time, I've gotten in a lot of ways a little better at doing it, you know, in other ways, I can trick myself a lot more easily than I did before, but I've got a lot of practice. And, you know, the thing that just kind of hits me between the eyes is it's not an overnight matter, because when I got sober, you know, everything in my life was an event. You know, there was no stream of life. There was, everything was an event. It was a positive event or it was a negative event, you know, enjoying a positive or suffering the negative. And most of it was negative. Let's be honest. You know, every once in a while I'd luck out. So this idea that I've got to continue to look at myself, and it's not, you know, this one time, like a fourth and fifth step. And I don't get into the, is it a fifth step? Is it a 10th step? Is it a fourth? I don't care. I don't care what anybody, how anybody sees it. For me, you know, I know that I have to try to follow the directions to the best of my ability. And the things that I have to watch for, you know, I wish I could tell you at, you know, 28 years, if I'm doing the math right, yeah, that my mind isn't that crazy anymore, or I don't get, you know, lazy or slothful. There's a show that goes on in my head nearly every day, most of the day. There are times when I'm not thinking like that, don't get me wrong, but it's there all the time. You know, I just don't listen to it. And the volume is lower than it used to be, you know? But it's always one thing that I've gotten really good at, I think, and it's just through practice, is the part where they talk about in this first paragraph that we read, is when these crop up, we ask God it wants to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends if we have harmed any. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help love, and tolerance of others, our code. Man, I would sit on stuff. You know, I would eventually tell my sponsor. I'm not the big secret collector, but I was not, you know, I was not doing this quickly. And one of the things that has changed in my life is the amount of Alcoholics Anonymous members that I talk to regularly. And when I say regularly, I mean regularly. I'm not talking about once a day. I mean, I'm not talking about once a week. You know, some of them I talk to every day. Some of them I talk to two or three times a week. Some of them, you know, it might be once a week, but I am constantly talking with other alcoholics, and I can share these things, whether I sponsor them or it's a guy that I called to check on. You know, I was just talking to a guy that's been back, I don't know, a couple of months, retread, just like I am, you know, and I'm like, yeah, Spence, I got to tell you, I was thinking the same kind of thing just the day before yesterday, you know, and I mean, it just, my life is an open book. I'm not going to, I'm a little judicious about how far I'll go and with whom, but by and large, my life is an open book, you know? And so I don't end up with this stuff stuffed down inside of me. And I don't end up walking around with this and sleeping on it and letting it erode me from the inside like I used to, you know? I'll chew on stuff here and there for a while and I suffer for it. And I know I'm doing it, you know? That's the beauty of it. I know what's going on and I know there's a solution. You know, the last thing we're doing this paragraph by thing, the last thing I'll say about the first paragraph, that I have gotten better at, but I certainly need, more practice is turning my thoughts to someone I can help. You know, I want to fix what's going on. I want to make sure that I'm, approaching it properly the way AA is asking. I've just found that that works better than mine. But there are times where I don't turn my thoughts to someone I can help after I've kind of done the AA exercises. And I have found that, you know, if I have a fear, a resentment, or I've been dishonest with somebody, that makes it a whole lot harder for me. We're not talking major league stuff. This is just everyday mode, that it makes it a lot harder for me to be tolerant and loving toward anybody else. I'm not on the opposite end of the spectrum when I don't do that. I'm just not as good as I could be, you know, in terms of being loving and in terms of being tolerant. You know, that's something that I strive for because I try to move a lot more towards that than taking my temperature. And I'm really good at taking my temperature. I'll pass.
All right, James?
I'm James. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you for asking me to be here. I have a sponsor. He's here tonight. It's Alex. I got a sobriety date. It's 2005, November 13th, 2005. I have a home group. It's the Common Solution Group in Charlottesville, and I'm active in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, we're looking at this first paragraph, and I was thinking back, and it's funny. You know, I came in and out of AA for 7 years, and I didn't know that the instructions on how to get sober were in the big book. Yeah, I thought the big book was a novel written by Bill Wilson, and I thought that the steps were all in the 12 and 12. And this time around, you know, I was just, when I started going through the book with my sponsor, I was like, I can't believe this. You know, it's right there. And, you know, when I got into AA this time, I was willing to do anything. You know, my life had gotten so bad in those 7 years of coming in and out that I couldn't stand it anymore. And I was hitting lows that I said I would never do. And I was drinking, you know, like when I got back this time, I was either drinking, thinking about drinking, or thinking about not drinking. It just consumed me. And my job was about getting ready to fire me. I wasn't in good shape. You know, in the days that I was trying to white knuckle it, I was restless, irritable, and discontent. I was blaming my boss for all the trouble in my life. I'm like, well, why are you going? Because I worked on a farm, and like everybody lived there. It was like kind of like a commune in a way. And my boss would go to where I lived, and there'd be like 4 55-gallon trash bags full of beer cans and bottles and liquor. And he would ask me about it. I'm like, well, why are you back there doing that? You know, it's like, this is your fault. And I can go to bed at night if I was sober, just thinking how I was going to get that guy. And, you know, these people are out to get me. And I would just be so consumed with hate and anger. I just couldn't take it anymore. And the only thing that would give me relief from that stuff is a drink. But, you know, this time around, you know, having a sponsor, you know, it wasn't Alex. I was working with a guy for the first couple of years. One of the first instructions he gave me was to read page 84 through 88 every morning. So that was like one of the things I was doing in my meditation. And the first thing that jumped out at me was, you know, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. You know, when these crop up, not if, it's when, you know, discuss it with somebody immediately. So early on, I was calling my sponsor saying, you know, I said, I can't stand it. You know, this guy isn't talking to me. I'm going to get him. You know, I mean, just nuts. And he was like, you know, you got to, you know, ask God, you know, ask God to remove that. You know, you're at your job today. This is how you're going to be helpful. You're going to disregard him and you're going to throw yourself into your job and do a good job for that guy. And just hang on for dear life. And, you know, early sobriety for me wasn't easy. Now, I remember, you know, I don't think I slept well the first 90 days, and it didn't start getting easier for me, you know, because reading this stuff is fine. It's helpful, you know, being engaged in the program, having a sponsor, having a home group, all that stuff was getting me tied in. But I hadn't done the stuff up to this. I had never made amends. You know, that was the thing that scared me the most in AA. And so I never did it for 7 years. You know, I didn't have the spiritual awakening. So, I mean, I didn't have, you know, continue to take personal inventory. I hadn't even taken the first one. So, you know, I needed to get busy. But, you know, as soon as I, you know, went through the steps and you know, made amends, this stuff, it just started making a whole lot more sense to me. And, you know, I like too that it's not an overnight matter. You know, I'm definitely not the same person today that I was when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I've changed a lot from the help of the people in here and being active. You know, I don't react to life the way that I used to react to. And I stay current with my sponsor. I stay current with the guys in my home group. I try to do a little bit when I screw up, I admit it, and I try to do better tomorrow. And that's really all I can do. I'm trying to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And for a self-obsessed, self-centered guy like me, that's a complete turn in my thought process because, you know, before Alcoholics Anonymous, when I'd wake up in the morning, I would just be like, I would just try to hang on, lie my way through the day, try to get some money, pretend to be somebody I wasn't until I was able to start drinking like I wanted to. And, when I was able to drink, my mind would immediately like relax. I'd be like, oh God, thank God there's something here. But you know, now it's AA is here, you know, this program is here. And that's what I'm doing. And, you know, just some of the stuff with this, it's not an overnight matter. I've worked with a guy, today, you know, I've had the same job for 22 years, and I've had three different owners. And 7 years ago, the farm switched hands and it turned into a horse farm. And they hired somebody that immediately off the get-go, I just could not stand. I just hated the guy. And over time, through working this step, you know, today I've got a good relationship with that guy. And he hasn't changed. What's changed is my reaction to him, the way I treat him, and the way that I've become more useful and effective. And I can go to bed tonight and I don't hate him. And if the phone rings or I see a text from him, I don't say, oh, geez, what does he want? And because if I'm going to live in this world, I got to be free of that resentment and fear, you know. And the reason I hated the guy was I was afraid he was going to take my job. I was afraid he was going to take money. You know, that's the chief activator of when you want to see James get sick is, you know, you threaten my pocketbook or my prestige or, you know, security. And I start reacting poorly. You know, it's hard. I don't initially just jump into trust in God. I go into survival mode, and that's not a healthy place for me to be in. So thank God for instructions, and I'm going to go ahead and pass.
All right. Thank you both. All right, I'll put up the next section, number two, section two from page 84. And we have ceased fighting anyone or anything, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, nor are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky, nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. All right, Alex?
I'm Alex, an alcoholic again. Thank you. Good job, James. And I got to tell you, he hated the horse guy. Totally. I got more calls about the horse guy than any other topic the entire time I've sponsored it. So he's done a good job. You know, we all kind of, I guess, have our favorites. You know, we're certainly entitled to them. But I think, you know, the greatest promise in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is that I'll seldom be interested. You know, without the absence of the interest and then the consumption in liquor, I can't have any of this, you know. And I'll tell you a couple of stories. And before I do that, I'll tell you this. In my entire sobriety, I have not been in a position where I almost drank or I nearly drank or I really gave serious consideration to drinking. And I attribute that to sometimes unwillingly, but consistently being in the middle of alcoholics and sponsorship and home group and friends and meetings, fellowship and the whole nine yards. You know, they used to say you can't fall off the middle of AA. You can only fall off the edge. And so the first experience, and it's really because it's the only one of that kind that I have, came, I was probably, 2 months dry. You know, I had had my last drink, but I didn't know it. So this was probably maybe early June of 1993. And I made a decision, and I had not drank for whatever it was, a month and a half, 6 or 7 weeks, something like that. I had never been sober that long. I mean, literally, all those times in and out of AA, I don't recall ever making it 30 days. I drank quick. And as I told you, I didn't do the steps. Well, I hadn't done the steps yet either. But I had hooked up with a group of younger people. And, you know, we were going to meetings and doing stuff. And but one late afternoon, I decided that I was going to drink. I made the decision to drink. You know, I said to myself, well, and I had had this job that I had for, 18 or 19 years before I left that I had just gotten earlier that spring. And I was making more money than I ever made. I wasn't making money hand over fist, but you know, it was more money than third shift bakery work. And, you know, I'm like, it was out of nowhere like that. I'm like, I'm going to drink. But I knew enough at the time that if I started drinking, I was going down quick because I knew what I drank like. You know, it was just one after another, you know. And at that point, I couldn't drink liquor because I'd automatically. And so it was mostly beer. And then I applauded wine coolers, the 2-liter bottles when they came out, because that was something else I could. But so I make this decision to drink. And I know that if I start doing that, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble real quick. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't want to get another DUI. I don't want to crash my car. I know how this is going to go. So I'm going to get a room at the Omni downtown. I'm going to call my friend. I won't name him by name. I went to high school with him. And I'm going to get this room. I'm going to give the concierge my keys. I'm going to pay him to refuse to give me the keys if I ask for them that night back. And I'm going to get 2 cases of Molson and an 8-ball. Because I know if I start drinking, I'm going down quick. So I called this guy to get the supplemental energy. And he always got it for me. He always got it. And it was never unavailable. And he loved me visiting him because we did a bunch of whatever I bought before I left. And I called him. He goes, let me call you back. I said, all right. Then he called me back. And this was not on cell phone. We didn't have cell phone. I didn't. And he called me back. He's like, I can't get any. And I'm like, oh, you know, what am I going to do now? And then I'm vacillating. Should I go ahead with the plan? You know, this stuff. And out of the blue, I mean, within probably 45 minutes to an hour of that phone call, two members of AA showed up at my house unannounced. Well, it wasn't my house. It was my parents' house. Or should I say the rest area? I mean, they showed up unannounced. What are you doing? Come on, we're going to a meeting. You know, and if I'm honest with you, and I will be, I didn't say anything to them about it. But, you know, for me, God stepped in the one time I wasn't drinking and made a decision to drink and prevented that from happening. Now, shortly after that, I took the steps and experienced this problem being removed. Now, I have a couple of occurrences, and I'll just tell you one in particular. I was up in Connecticut at a meeting, and it was at the Mohegan. And we were in a big banquet room with the big round banquet tables, probably, I don't know, maybe 125 to 150 publishing company at this meeting. And the waiter came over and he said, you know, asking for, what do you want to drink? And, you know, their salespeople at a meeting are drinking. I don't care what they're wearing, they're drinking because it's free, you know? And I said, listen, I said, I want an iced tea, not the drink iced tea with the alcohol in it. I just want some iced tea. And so it was a while and we're talking and doing all this stuff. And the guy brings the drinks back and I see him set it down, but I'm not really paying attention to it. And, you know, we're talking. So I go to take a hit of it and it's the drink iced tea, not the kind I wanted. You know, it's the drink from the bar. And I got 8 or 10 people around me at this round table and I immediately spit it back out and I put up my hands and I don't drink. Excuse me for a minute. And I got up from the table and I walked out into the hallway, which is an enormous cavernous hallway. And I called Valerie, then my wife at the time. And I said, look, I said, let me tell you what just happened. I said, I'm not in any danger. It kind of startled me, but it was too late to call my sister. He would never answer. We were eating way late. And I said, I just need to tell somebody what was going on. You know, I didn't have any urge. I wasn't like, oh, I started. I was absolutely safe and protected, you know, but I had to take those actions that I took when I was in the middle of that experience for me, you know, so that's not working on me. And, you know, because my mind, if I don't do that, I could easily see it saying, you know, you could go downstairs. Nobody would know. I mean, I never reached that level, you know, but I could see if I didn't take these actions that people suggest for me to take, that I'm not going to stay in that position of having, you know, uninterest and unaction upon alcohol. And, you know, it was, and I went back in and I finished dinner and talked to people and all that. I'm not a big hanger outer after those things, but I'll go do the duty. And, you know, I went back to my room and I didn't raid the mini bar. You know, I didn't order something up to the room. You know, I didn't have a cab take me to off the premises so I could come back with, you know, I didn't come up with any story. You know, I absolutely had been returned to sanity. And I'm so thankful for that. I think that's all I got.
Thanks, Alex. James?
Okay. Thanks, Alex. Yeah, I can't believe this worked. You know, I didn't think anything would work to help me. I was one that I really thought my case was different in Alcoholics Anonymous. I thought I had special problems. I thought I was unique. I thought if I could just fix my outsides of my life, my insides would straighten out. And it never happened. I mean, I always go back to drinking, always. And I remember, you know, driving down to the treatment center I went to when I got sober this time. And, you know, my life was complete crap. I mean, it couldn't get any worse. I remember like about a month before my last drink, I was in a Outback Steakhouse in a blackout and a guy had punched me and had split my forehead open. And I went to my sponsor's house the next day. It wasn't Alex, it was a guy I was working with. And, I mean, I was a total wreck, you know, the pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization. I was crying. I was like, I can't keep living like this. I can't live like this anymore. And he looked at me and he said, I don't think things have gotten bad enough for you yet. And I was like, what are you talking about? I mean, how bad do they got to get? You know, I mean, what's got to happen here? And I felt like somebody had shot me, and I would drink for another month after that. And finally, I got to the point of desperation, but I was driving down to this treatment center, and I was like, there was a voice in my head that said, James, this isn't going to work. You're going to drink again. You always drink again. No matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I wish it away or what I try to do, my mind always turns and I always pick up a drink and I can't stop it. It's like a wheel in motion. And something I heard early on in AA was, call before you pick up the first drink. And that never worked for me because if I was that crazy, if I had the obsession to drink and on me, I'm not going to call anybody. I'm just going to drink. I'm going to go for that relief. But thank God I started taking these actions, even thinking that they wouldn't work. And it worked, after making amends, I think for me, I mean, thank God I didn't really have any crazy obsessions to drink. But, really after the amends process, I started really looking at life differently. My thinking was changed. I was able to look people in the eye. I didn't feel terrible about myself. I was getting friends. I had commitments in AA. The wheels started turning, and I was in that position of neutrality with alcohol. I wasn't thinking about drinking. I wasn't thinking about not drinking. And thank God that's stayed, because it's got to be there for a guy like me, because I'm alcoholic. The idea, I will never, ever safely be able to drink alcohol again. I just got back from a vacation with in-laws, and I didn't think about drinking one time at all, but I sometimes just watch people, normal drinkers that are drinking, and it always amazes me that nobody's, breaking a table or throwing something through a window or they stop, people go to bed. They don't pee on the couch at the inappropriate time. I'll never be able to safely drink. So, thank God for that neutrality. And this part about fit spiritual condition, for me, that's just suiting up and showing up and continuing to stay active in this stuff. And thank God I'm still doing it. So thank you.
All right. Thank you both. I'll put the next section of reading up, section number 3 from page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day where we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activity. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. All right, Alex?
Hey, Alex, alcoholic again. One thing that I wanted to share, James, you did a really good job about the previous paragraph, especially if you're new. I want to separate two thoughts. I've never thought about really going out drinking, but I can't tell you I've never thought about a drink. And sometimes it'll just not taking a drink, but a drink. And I've had, probably a couple of dozen of occasions over my sobriety, where I can't give you a concrete one right now, but I can give you an illustration. It would be like if the Molson truck drove by wherever I was, let's say in the parking lot of the grocery store, and I might be like, Molson, I've had thoughts like that from time to time. And my immediate reaction to those is I say to myself something similar to, God, I'm a drunk, or God, I'm an alcoholic, I'm powerless over alcohol, whatever. It's just a little thing to get my mind switched back around to the fact that, so it doesn't go any further. I'm not sitting there in fear that it's going to go further, but those are the kinds of things that I've been taught by members of Alcoholics Anonymous to interrupt the thinking like that. I can sleep on my laurels, not just rest, pass out, but not from alcohol. I mean, there have been times in my sobriety you know, honest to goodness that it literally appears that I've gone to sleep about the way that we're, not that I've done anything so horrendous, but you know, when I run my life on my own will versus what you guys help me interpret as God's will for me, I am in absolute trouble. And I got to tell you, you know, and this is not saying anything about the other party at all, but you know, I was married for 14 years and that marriage ended in divorce. And I got to tell you, there was a lot of my will, not thine be done from me in there. A lot of damage, a lot of wreckage, we've totally crossed that bridge in a very awesome way. But that was like my heyday of the vision of my will, you know, and instead of trying to look at it from a different perspective, more so today, you know, and that was, you know, that was whatever, seven to 8 years ago. You know, I'm pretty sober when that's going on, according to the numbers, but I ain't acting like, you know, and I there were lots and lots and lots of days and evenings and afternoons and mornings and middle of the nights where I wasn't thinking to myself, how can I best serve thee? I was thinking, how am I going to get you? How am I going to get that? How am I going to get away from this? How am I going to keep this from being found out? Yeah. I mean, just like puppet strings with little areas of my life and not seeking God's will the way that I should, you know, and it's just funny. I picked up a little snippet from a speaker a long time ago. I mean, I probably first heard him in 1993. And he talked about early on in his sobriety, he would walk around saying to himself, and the way he presented it was like three times in a row, I am no longer running the show, thy will be done. I am no longer running the show, thy will be done. I am no longer running the show, thy will be done. And I've done that my entire sobriety, you know, and maybe for a while it was, you know, sort of a Band-Aid. And then I really understood that there was some meaning behind it, and there were some legs there that needed to move and some actions that needed to be taken. I learned slowly, and I learned mostly, almost exclusively through mistakes. You know, Dave doesn't call me up, or my sponsor doesn't call me up, or James doesn't call me up and say, hey, I got a really good idea for you to treat this way, or to behave that way, or to this. You know, I'm making the call or being confronted, and you know, and I'm in the ditch, I'm upside down, the phone's off the hook, you know, it just I can't do this on my own, you know. And probably the biggest daily activity for me that puts me back in the place of realizing that I can't run this show, that it's thy will be done, is the constant interaction with other alcoholics. And the, you know, I mentioned the phone calls and everything, and that's a lot of it, but especially during the COVID stuff, which thankfully we seem to be getting a little bit past slowly. But, you know, I looked at, I've been absolutely 100% dedicated to what I do in the morning, and I've been 100% dedicated to what I do at night. And it's right out of the book. Have I ever rushed it? Have I ever, you know, cut it short? Sure, I have. But I can't tell you a time that I recall that I haven't done it. My problem is in between the morning and the evening. It's wilding time, you know? And so this constant interaction with other alcoholics, you know, I started looking at it. I'm like, I've got all this time and I know I'm going to a meeting. I go to a lot of meetings. You know, I know I'm going to do my prayer and meditate. I know I'm going to do the review. I know I'm going to say my prayers. I know I'm going to do this stuff. But what about that giant block of time, you know? And I mean, I'm not on the phone all the time, but I'm constantly talking to alcoholics throughout the day. And man, that really goes, for me, that goes a long way toward keeping me in check. You know, I got stuff to do. I got to, you know, thank God we're going back to school. I mean, I had, you know, fifth grade all year was right where I'm sitting. You know, that was something else to wrestle. But the constant interaction with you, the constant reminder of AA, continuing to pray, continuing to ask God for direction, you know, and it talks about these as thoughts, you know, and that's, again, I'm a guy that slowly over time has been willing to put the energy and the effort into doing it this way, where I don't want to say that it happens automatically, but there's a whole lot less resistance to doing it that, you know, I still have to make the effort, you know, and look at how I can best serve you. What would God want me to, how would he want me to handle this? One thing that I've done that I love doing meditation in the morning, and I love doing readings in the morning. I don't do a slew of them. I do two. Or if somebody sends me something else, I look at that. But it's pretty much every day I do two. Now, this is how my 56-year-old alcoholic brain works. I just read it. 5 minutes later, I can't remember what it is. You know, that may not be true all the time, but it's plenty true enough. And so I got in the habit of making a one-sentence note on my phone from both of the readings. So one's right over top of the other. I don't even have to open it up. I just have to hit notes and I can read the one sentence summary so I can remind myself through the day, you know, who's supposed to be providing the direction? Is it really me? Nah, I've never read anything that says that, you know, but I try to wrestle that back. But that's been something that's really helped me, you know, because I really feel good about, you know, starting off in the morning and being AA dedicated and getting in touch with God and reading stuff that's meaningful to me. And literally 5 minutes later, I, you know, hey, did you read that thing? Yeah, I did. Well, what'd you like about it? Hold on. that's me. So that's something that's helped remind me that I'm here to be of service, that I'm not running the show, and that I'm really supposed to be. Thanks.
All right. I'm James Alcoholic. It's 7:52. I guess I'll talk for about 3 minutes. I've seen people drink in AA that I would have swore up and down that they would never touch another drink of alcohol. You know, people I really looked up to that, you know, were sober a lot longer than I was. And I was like, my God, you know, it's just, you know, it's, I'm alcoholic, you know, I mean, I'm never going to leave here. I got nowhere else to go. And it's real easy to let up on it, on this stuff. You know, my life has gotten a lot better since, I got sober. You know, I got a lot of things now, but, you know, I don't get sick overnight. I just kind of, you know, brown out. But what I do notice is how much better I feel when I'm doing more Alcoholics Anonymous, when I'm meeting new people, or, you know, when people ask me to sponsor them, you know, that's when my lights come on. And that's when I feel better than I've, you know, ever felt, you know. And it's harder for me to realize I'm sick, but once I'm dead middle in the AA, I'm like, well, God, you know, I thank God I'm not there anymore. But I need to be better about how can I best serve thee, thy will not mine be done. You know, there's times that's not going with me constantly. I forget all about it. Like Alex was talking about, I got a built-in forgetter. I just start rolling on. I'm a routine guy. I get stuck in a routine, and it involves AA, but it does, it's, stuff can slowly start slipping out of the, and I can stop doing it. So it's good to come to meetings and get reminded. So that's all I have.
All right, great. Thank you, James. Thank you too, Alex. All right, folks, that's all the time for reading and sharing that we have for this evening. Reminder about the seventh tradition. David put the link for Simple Actions PayPal in the chat earlier. While we don't have any expenses currently other than Zoom, we do pass along any donations to district and intergroup and area. Thanks again to Alex and James for your sharing. All right, our common welfare, word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements, are there any AA-related announcements? David?
Hi, everybody, I'm an alcoholic named David. James, Alex, thank you so much, that was amazing. Yeah, just a couple. I'm going to put in the chat the delegates report. There's another one coming up this Saturday, June 26, 1 to 2:30 p.m. The Zoom information is in the chat for District 15 and 30, if anybody's interested in hearing the Virginia delegate again. And this Wednesday is the fourth Wednesday of the month, and District 14 is sponsoring a concepts workshop all throughout 2021. So we've been having past delegates come in. And this Wednesday, we'll have Gail, past delegate, on Concept 6. That's going to start at 7 p.m. That information is available at tidewaterintergroup.org. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, David. All right, Simple Actions is a home group. Home group members, please raise your hand. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting to connect with any of the folks with their hands raised. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you to not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, someone will be available in the Zoom room once we close the meeting. Please stick around and talk with us or feel free to email info@simpleactions.net with questions. And let's see, Leanne, would you be willing to read the last two paragraphs on page 164? How about Morgan?
Sure.
All right.
I think Leanne can't unmute.
I'm sorry. All right.
I'm happy to do it.
I'm sorry. I didn't think about that part. There you go, Morgan.
Morgan, I'm an alcoholic. This is a vision for you from Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you.
And thanks again to Alex and James for sharing this evening. Thank you to everybody that participated. And if David will give everyone the ability to unmute themselves, we'll say the Lord's Prayer, and then everybody will have a chance to thank our two speakers after that. All right, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Nobody ever fell out of the middle of AA.
I love it.
That was tight.
Hey, James, when is the appropriate time to pee on a couch?
I was wondering that as well.
No, whenever the moment hits.
That's what it means.